Emerson radio program. Sarah's distracted because she's on the phone to Couples, our sister station, trying
I'm trying. No, and then I'm talking to the nice lady who we were harassing yesterday on the phone.
She's trying to track down a...
Oh, no, she's over at the other building.
Because she's like, I don't have to give it to you. It's
trying
awesome.
To track down Smokey Woods, so you're going to go... do you have coffee or something with him?
Yeah, I'd like to.
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. A little bit later on, we'll talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, who has a review of the new David Fincher film, Zodiac. And we'll do some of these 970 greatest things. I got them brought up right here. In the meantime, in between time, let's go to New York City, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Yeah, boy.
Did you really just say that?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn. You know that, so.
Are you in your B-boy stance?
Yes.
Okay.
My pants are sliding down. You know, I've got those low-rise jeans on.
Now, you are from Brooklyn now. At the risk of violating decorum, may I ask how old you are, sir?
I'm 38.
38. Okay, so you are part of the hip-hop generation. And you're from Brooklyn.
You know.
Are you able to A, break dance, B, freestyle, C, beatbox, D, any of the above?
None of the above.
You can't do any of the above. What kind of Brooklyner are you, sir?
No, I was the counterculture in Brooklyn, I guess.
When you say counterculture in Brooklyn, is that what social group did you belong to growing up, sir?
Oh, you know what? I was in a band.
You were in a band?
Yeah.
What kind of band would this have been?
I guess, you know, it would fall under the vein of new wave, alternative rock, that sort of thing.
Here's why I ask this. Because according to CNN Radio's website, you, Steve Kastenbaum, are also a regular on New York's swing dancing scene and are often spotted around town doing a Lindy Hop.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Can you get chicks doing the Lindy Hop?
You'd be surprised.
I guess I really would be. Is the Lindy Hop that thing that they do in It's a Wonderful Life?
It's, remember the Gap commercial that came out in the 90s and they were dancing to that song Jump, Jive, and Whale?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a Lindy Hop.
And so is this a thing you learned as a teenager, or is this like a thing in late in life? You said you looked in your mirror and you said, damn it, man, it's time for you to learn how to hop like Lindy.
Gotta dance. No, I always liked big band music, swing music from the 30s and 40s. You know, my grandmother, my grandfather were really into it, so I guess I picked it up from them, and then it became sort of a fad for a while there at the end of the 90s into the early 2000s. And so it became a bit of a scene.
It also says that you play guitar, and I'm quoting now, can occasionally be found gigging somewhere in the East Village.
You know, my gigging days are sadly behind me with this job.
Well, that's okay. It's inadequate. You know, you lose the gig, you gain Rick Emerson. It's a wash, my friend.
Yes, I would agree. I'd have to agree.
Hey, let me ask you this. Why do you suppose that it took, quote, pressure from their parent company, end quote, for Kentucky Fried Chicken to think that maybe they ought to be closing down and getting rid of some of the rats that were running around inside their fine establishment?
You know, I think the company that owns Kentucky Fried Chicken also owns Taco Bell and Pizza Hut.
That is the Yum Corporation?
Yeah, the Yum Corporation. Yeah. And you know, they're still thinking about the E. coli outbreak a few months ago. So that company was like, we got to get on top of this now. You know, we can't afford any more negative publicity. And they shut down these restaurants. But you would think that the owners of all of these franchises here in New York that were closed, that they would have done this proactively ahead of time.
Well, were they just banking on the fact that no one would really care, or that somebody would go, well, there's rats, yes, but such value. What was the logic behind, because it doesn't seem like being, quote, overrun with rats is a thing that happens instantaneously. That's something that happens over time.
You know, the thing about rats is they don't like to be around when there's people around. So it may have been one of those situations where they didn't realize how bad of a problem they had because the rats came out at night after the gates were pulled down and nobody was in the store. I'm just speculating here, but you know, when you're in the subway, for instance, during the day, you may see one rat once in a while crossing the tracks, but if you've ever waited for a subway train at night in Manhattan especially, you know, and it's like 2 a.m., you're bound to see several rats scurrying around, and there's very few people around. So that could have been something that going on there. You know, the owners didn't realize how bad of a problem they had. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you'll learn to get over that. We try never to do that sort of thing. We always try to assume the worst. We try to believe the absolute darkest side of things. And we try to believe that everybody is guilty of everything of which they're even passively accused.
You know what it is? I'm in an optimistic frame of mind because I just started a new job.
Oh, no. That'll last for a week, two at the most.
Yeah, that's what my friend said.
Yeah, you'll be back to any of the rest of us. Is it just, like in New York City, is it just that like you guys have reached a sort of detente with the rodent population there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're very much common sight at night, especially when garbage is put out. In certain neighborhoods, you see them. You never see a rat on Park Avenue, or if you do, it's, you know, very rare, maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. But in other neighborhoods, you see them. And it's just a fact of life when you live in a major city like New York, especially one where, you know, buildings have gone up and every piece of property is developed, and then there's some vacant lots in some neighborhoods, but there's construction going on, and when there's construction going on, that disturbs the rats below ground, so they leave that area and they infest another area. It's really a never-ending battle.
The creepiest thing about this videotape that they found out that these restaurants were filled with rats is that the rats seemed totally unafraid of the guys walking in with the cameras and the bright light. Like, the rats almost looked like they were sort of striking a pose, Gloria Swanson style for the cameras. It was a little unnerving.
Well, let me tell you, rats are not afraid of humans. It is the opposite way here. Humans are very afraid of rats in New York. Rats did not give a darn about people, really.
Oh, no, they're going to outlast us. We'll all be dead. We'll all be dead, and they'll be walking around wearing our skins, my friends. You make a note that you make book on that. That's going to be the case.
I saw this documentary once on the people who go around in New York City, the municipal workers who go around investigating rat infestations. And there are some people who, unfortunately, live in these areas where the buildings are old, they're decrepit, there's holes in the walls, and then there's vacant lots around their buildings, and the rats literally outnumber the people. And these rats, they just don't care. They come in through windows and will take food right off of the kitchen table.
It's repelling in through the skylight.
Seriously, it's really like that.
No, that's one of you get those animals that have lost all fear of you, and at a certain point, they're animals who just realize that they have the advantage. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They just realize advantage rodent, and then they just press that advantage relentlessly. Hey, so we want to congratulate you, by the way, on finishing out your first week at CNN Radio New York.
I made it through. I'm still alive.
Day's not over. Let's not get overconfident yet. As we continue to compile our dossier on you, though, we're going to ask you this question that all of the new correspondents at CNN have been asked by the Rick Emerson Show, banking on the fact that at some point you will probably come to Portland. We'll try to, at some point in the future, should you ever pass our way. What is your drink of choice, Steve Kassenbaum?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked that one. Oh, I am very happy. McCarran Scotch.
McCarran Scotch. All right, is that just on the rocks or neat?
On the rocks.
All right, excellent. All right, McCarran Scotch.
If you can get the reserve, I'll be very happy.
All right, there you go. Well, the Rick Emerson Show does aim to please, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you in the very near future, my friend.
Speak to you next week.
All right, there you go. Steve Kassenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City. Fantastic. I dig that guy. He's going to fit in well. He's going to work. He's going to mesh perfectly with the Rick Emerson radio program. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please make way for your president, prophet, seer, and revolutionary.
Good afternoon, everyone. Our top story, a goddess gets her wings.
Sorry, that's me. Goddess.
Try again.
A goddess gets her wings.
Editor Cole Smith has taken to her final resting place at a delightful mahogany coffin draped in a rhinestone-scented pink blanket. Police were smartly dressed in white tunics and pith helmets. Onlookers, mostly Bahamians, spontaneously broke into the hymn, "When Peace is Like a River." Meanwhile, when onlookers saw her mother arrive, they booed. But they saw Larry Burkett.
Who boos at a funeral?
Bahamians.
Seriously? It's not a Knicks game.
I'm sorry, go ahead. But when Larry Burkett arrived, they cheered. The guest disappeared under a green tent that covered the gravesite amid tight security. Smith was buried in a peaceful tiara and a custom-made bearded gown. Didn't say how she was put outside of that.
A bearded gown.
I mean, a beard.
There's a lot of bearded things in that relationship.
Meanwhile, the eulogy was delivered by a tearful Howard K. Stern.
Joanna, today you are going to meet Daniel in the Bahamas and in heaven.
It was just incredible, all the fuss, said a woman who owned a nearby cafe. She was not a world figure. Meanwhile, Anna Nicole Smith, this is the last time we'll mention you forever. Yes, a goddess got her wings today.
All right, there you go.
All right.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So getting back to this Atlanta bus crash, apparently the bus driver mistakenly took a high-occupancy vehicle exit and plowed into a bridge retaining wall, and this bus full of baseball players careened off the side of it. An 18-year-old first baseman for the Bluffton Beavers suffered cuts and bruises and a broken collarbone.
This is something that's not going to leave the guys who are on that bus this morning. This is going to be with us forever. And we've been living together, practicing together, and just, we've been a family for the past 5 months.
That was a buzzkill. Meanwhile, the Secretary of the Army, Francis Harvey, has resigned amid the growing flap over conditions at Walter Reed Medical Center.
I've got a growing flap.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates made the announcement briefly at the Pentagon.
I'm disappointed that some in the Army have not adequately appreciated the seriousness of the situation pertaining to outpatient care at Walter Reed. Some have shown too much defensiveness and have not shown enough focus on digging into and addressing the problems.
Such as mold, mice, and mayhem.
Everything is covered with rats.
Mm-hmm.
Everything everywhere lately is covered with rats and goo and slime. All right.
There should be no higher priority than the excellent care of wounded troops.
Our wounded soldiers and their families have sacrificed much, and they deserve the best we can offer.
How about we put a priority on not wounding them? They might appreciate that, too, if also they weren't having their genitals and limbs blown off.
We are the policemen of the world, and we have to go to countries and do this type of thing. This is collateral damage.
We're bringing you freedom, or else.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, we have a rat. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hey, are you a male? Are you a letter carrier, sir?
Yes, I am. We had a rat. Well, we have a rat infestation at our station, and one of them was trapped in our manager's office for the last 4 days. The amount of damage a rat can do when it's trapped is unbelievable.
Really?
Well, it ripped all the carpet up trying to dig its way out through the floor.
Did it go through the minibar, too?
Yeah, then when that failed, he started to work on the door. And so finally the manager had enough because he wouldn't leave the office even when the door was open.
Hold on. This is a rat we're talking about, right?
This is a rat. This
what do you mean he went to work on the door?
He started to chew his way through the door.
Okay. And, that's just unnerving.
It is very unnerving, particularly when you witness it. And then you would go in his office and you would see the rat in the heat register looking up, totally unafraid of humans. So they came in, they put these giant rat traps, look like surfboards.
Oh, those are huge, those rat traps?
Those are huge. Never touched them in 4 days. Very trap savvy. And finally, they chased them through the heat registers until they cornered them, and then the management team all armed themselves with sharpened spears. And finally, when they got them to the last register, they put the rat to sleep for good.
They were able to take him down. But, I mean, look, you got to give it up for the rat in that case, though. I mean, you kind of do, don't you?
Well, and now the office is unusable because, of course, during those 4 days, as rats do, there is rat urine and rat feces everywhere.
I'm just saying, you almost have to admire that that's a creature that really does outlast, outwit, and outplay. You know what I mean?
And it didn't go for any of those traps at all. And they were using, and this was professionals that were putting them in, they were using things like bacon-soaked cotton balls and three kinds of different cheeses and all that. None of it worked. Finally, it was the spear through the back of the neck, Sparta style, that took that rat down.
You gotta kind of admire a rat that was smart enough to outwit, for 4 days, professional rat catchers.
And wouldn't leave the office even when the door was open. So
just had no fear. Didn't give a damn. Looked, just stared you down, Scarface style.
Oh, if you buy stamps at the Rose City Post Office, be real careful about licking the back of those.
Cover your ankles.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right. God bless you. This is. I've got the email here that's so funny, but it's What's the phrase, Sarah?
It's too something.
Graphic?
No, it's too
soon.
I don't have it.
I can't quite put my finger on what it is. It's too
vague.
It's too
details.
It's too is this going to take like an hour for you to find the soundbite?
Hang on.
It's too it's too something.
I just closed it.
Oh, this is never mind. This is more. No, well, you got to put it in the system. It's too soon. All right, can you play? No, can you play the buzzkill? That what is that buzzkill soundbite you just had? The one that was the big soundbite.
All right, here we go.
All right.
This is something that's not going to leave the guys who are on that bus this morning.
This is all the baseball team
this is going to be with us forever. And we've been living together, practicing together, and we've been a family for the past 5 months.
So Paul here is email. This is Paul who is emailing in to say that. Let's all say it together, kids, like Tom Hanks. There's no crying in baseball.
That was too soon. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon.
I did laugh. I LOL'd. Andrew, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I just wanted to call and tell you a real good rat story.
Let's all share rat stories, yes.
They're great. Came home early from work. And I was potty training my son, and I go down to sit on the old pot with my kid on the other one, and got the wife left a nasty in there for me till it jumped up at me. Rat swam up the toilet. I called plumbers. I called the city. The city just said it's kind of like winning a lottery. They get calls like this 2 or 3 times a year, but nobody would come out and get it. And my landlord wouldn't let me shoot it. So I ended up having to chop it up with machetes inside the toilet till it was dead.
This is the most horrible phone call we've ever had.
Hey, wait till you get on top of cats. I got a great cat story, too, for you later.
What did you chop the cat up with?
That was a shovel.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
And we don't like cats, but
thank you.
There's a limit.
There's a line, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We're done. All right. How about this? Rick, one night about 11 o'clock or so, I was walking near Skidmore Fountain and heard something. I looked to see what it was, and much to my horror, it was an army of about 10 vicious, huge rats. They stopped, noticing my staring, and turned to look at me. For about 2 seconds, the rats and I just sat there looking at each other, them contemplating me, and me thinking if I don't move, they won't eat me. Then, after the obligatory 2 seconds of contemplating, they decided I was much better fare than they would find in the dark, dank area they crawled out of. And all 10 of the rats charged me. They chased me for about 100 feet and then saw a bum across the street that was passed on a bench and decided he would be easier to catch. I've never been able to be near a rodent since. Oh, this is from Kristen Bowie. She was stalked by rats who then at the... And the great thing is that at the last moment, she was saved by having them attack a man who was passed out. This is like that guy that was attacked by nutrients and threw his girlfriend down to save himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, do we have... we're just getting nothing but rat calls now.
It's going to be stopped.
Yeah, it's going to be stopped now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. A few more headlines. And Scott Daly will be joining us on the other side of this break to talk about Zodiac. It's the Rick Emerson Film. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970. Rat stories have got to stop. Rat story. It's 503-733-2970. This is Penelope. Penelope, hello.
Hi, Rick. How are you guys?
We're adorable. How are you?
You are adorable. I'm adorable, too. Thank you.
Well, just imagine what our kids would look like.
Hey, I just wanted to give Scotty some props for... He did a great job today. I think he really did. And, you know, honestly, with what's on the air on the weekend, I'm struggling to find something honest. I'm struggling to find something decent and entertaining. And I think Scotty J would fill that void for all of us.
Who are you, really?
She's writing the cover letter.
Hey, you know what? I am just a faithful listener, and I really enjoy Scotty J. And I had the pleasure of meeting him at the concert at Dante's a couple weeks ago.
And now, when you say meeting, do you mean be groped by?
No, he was way too flustered to grope, and the lovely Mrs. J was sitting right next to him.
Oh, I see. Well, that's what explained it. He's never too flustered to grope. Sometimes he gropes the table with his face, but he can always be groping something.
Well, his feet upright, so he was doing all right.
I'm sorry, all I heard was he was upright.
Well, no, he was sitting upright there, right. You know. Okay, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Penelope. Cool.
Yep, you're welcome.
Thank you. There you go. That's Penelope. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome out of the room from FilmFeverRadio.com, our good friend Scott Daly. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm sorry, my headphones keep popping in and out.
The right channel on those is a little tricky. So,
yeah. Hey, Film Fever Radio has a great show for barter. If
really?
You're available. Yeah,
do you grab? Do you have like something made of steel, like lungs made of?
We have something made of steel, but I can't say it on the air.
All right.
So,
yeah.
But it is available for barter.
Good God Almighty! Yeah, you gotta hyphenate your name and then wear a lot of thick makeup and shriek a lot.
That's the worst thing I ever heard.
I horse race between that and Scotty J. I really think I might have to come down on his side. He had a certain negative charisma at least going for him, and she lacked even that. So.
Given the choice,
seriously. Let's do this one call, then we'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Mike, what's up?
I just wanted to talk to you a quick rap story.
Oh, God. All right. This is the last one.
Excuse me. Don't have a cough button. 4 years ago, went deer hunting, took our tent trailer.
Yeah.
And went opening weekend with the kids, set up the tent trailer, then tore it back down, just left it there. We came back and opened it up. We could see that we've been gone 2 days. We got back, this pregnant rat had destroyed the entire inside of the trailer, completely filled it with rat droppings, chewed up the cushions, made a rat's nest out of it. Well, we opened it up, we got everything cleared out. After a little smoking and drinking, I went back in to do some more, and I opened up a hatch, and there was the rat, and we came up with a 3-man extraction team and Remington pump rifle full of 22 shorts.
Yes.
One man went in with 2 mag lights. Guy behind him had the gun. Guy behind him reached around and flipped up the hatches, and we got him, baby.
Well, the funny thing is all of these stories have one thing in common, which is that like it takes an army of men to take down the rat.
This was a mean, but this rat was posturing.
He was posturing. He was begging for it. He was taunting us.
It was an attack, and we had really no choice but to take matters in our own hands.
I mean, I'm not saying that when it comes down to you and the rat that it's got to be the rat. I understand that. But all of these phone calls really have given me sort of a respect for the rat. That I mean, that it really does take a legion of men to take them down.
You find yourself in the situation one of these days, and I'll tell you what, I'd rather be picking up skips than chasing rats.
It's like you're talking about them like they're the Viet Cong. You know, they just kept coming.
All
right, there you go. Tim took his headphones off, by the way, about 5 seconds into that. The guy's like, and so we looked inside the tent, and it was full of big, and Tim just, I look over, and he's shaking his head, taking his headphones off, and walking off into a corner.
Can I share my rat story?
All right, Tim.
So,
sorry.
No, it's okay.
We'll be done.
It doesn't involve droppings at all. No, it was like a Saturday morning, and my wife's parents were staying with us for a little bit, and her dad and I had to go to the hardware store or something, and we got home like at 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday. As soon as we pulled up in the driveway, my wife came out of the house screaming like a banshee, just freaking out, and it's like, what happened? Well, she was using the restroom, and there was a box of tissue on the toilet, and when she was done, the rat literally sprang out of the box of tissue.
Like a jack-in-the-box?
Literally, it popped out.
Hello!
And so we said, so where's the rat now? He's in the bathroom! So her dad's a pretty big guy, big burly frontiersman, and So it's her dad, myself, a broom, and a Rubbermaid box in the bathroom trying to capture this thing for 20 minutes straight. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen. It was just like, this thing was beating us. It was, you know, 6 inches long. And
yeah. Well, that's what the guy from
incredible.
Steve in New York was in. He's like, they don't care. He's like, they're not afraid of you at all.
No, not at all.
It's like how my dog, you know, I was talking a joke about my dog, Max, a poodle, who thinks he's much bigger than he is. You know, because we have these big German shepherds who live down the street, and we'll walk by the German shepherd. You see my dog, he's tiny. We'll walk by the German shepherds, and he's just... Max is just like,
Rawr! He says the same thing and goes for them, and it's so humiliating.
Yeah.
Because you know,
that they would kill him.
Step him.
But you know, but the rat is the same way, but you get where the rat is like, I will kill you, human. The rat, but you get the feeling the rat might give you a run for your money.
It's that short man's complex.
I don't think so. I mean, I think I lock you and a rat in a closet. I don't know. Seriously. If I had a dark closet and locked you and a rat in there, I don't know who would be the worst for wear. I mean, I really don't know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, speaking of the rats, in that same area, the Saturday market opens for business tomorrow. You know that? Yeah, where you find, you know, things shaped like Oregon made out of squash and trinkets made by Indians. And they also have a puppet theater there. So chase the rats away and enjoy yourself. It opens for the season tomorrow.
Fantastic. Is it March? I guess it is March already. Cause it's March through what? March through December?
Yep.
Fantastic. There you go. So if you've been wanting to have something made of hemp, there or something that was once healthy and then was...
Zucchini in the shape of Idaho.
Something that was healthy until they fried it. Saturday market, once again, open with, you know, with the singing...
Oh, scraggly hippies.
Homeless man playing a one-string ukulele. This is your chance, kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good.
Well, the moon will turn shades of amber and crimson tomorrow night as it passes between the Earth's shadow for the first total lunar eclipse in 3 years. It'll be visible from parts of Asia, so get over there if you want the best view and always look at an eclipse through a hole in the shoebox. I don't know why, but that's what they always say.
Oh, man, I remember doing that. It was like a shoebox filled with tinfoil or some crap.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 total eclipse of the moon, blah, blah, blah. All right.
Have a Darwin watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't.
Oh, before I forget, the Burnside Bridge is going to be closed for several days because that thing is always breaking down. It closed at 8 o'clock tonight.
Seriously, how long is it going to take for...
They're always going to repair these things. Tear them down. We don't need them. They cause more trouble than they're worth.
Well, that bridge... I don't even...
What do you need over the east side anyway?
I don't even go on Burnside anymore. Ever. I just avoid it. I'm never going to go on it again. Even when they tell me the construction's complete, I'm not going to believe them.
I don't believe them.
Sons of bitches.
They use parts and things. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Dateline, Stuttgart, Arkansas. A woman eating from a bowl and talking on the phone. Walked past a railroad gate and into the path of a freight train.
Fantastic.
They subpoenaed the 26-year-old woman's cell phone records to find out who she was talking to.
Who cares? Well, okay.
This is Arkansas.
It's Arkansas.
Different world.
Well, it must have been a really gripping phone call not to notice a 100-ton train roaring at you.
But the real question is, what was in the bowl she was eating?
Seriously, what kind of food could possibly be interesting enough that you don't notice a goddamn train coming at you?
It's
well, all right. You just know she had kids before it happened, though.
An animal lover has been mauled to death by cheetahs after entering their cage at a zoo in northern Belgium. Karen Ertz was found dead in the cage. Authorities believe Ertz, who's a regular visitor to the zoo, hid in the park late Sunday till it closed and managed to find the keys to the cheetah cage. She loved animals. The cheetah didn't love her, and she was betrayed.
Betrayed.
One of the cats who killed her was named Bongo.
That's an embarrassing way to
Bongo's going to go to bed with a full tummy.
Bedtime for Bongo. Lunchtime for Bongo.
And that is our Darwin Watch for today.
Don't. All right, Rick, that story about the rats attacking somebody and then being diverted to a juicier target was a great picture. But I'm wondering how often there's a reverse situation in Portland where a group of transients hungrily chase a rat for 100 feet and then spot a Pomeranian tied to a tree. Ah, that's comedy. All right. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com.
Hello.
Hey, so Zodiac.
Yes,
sir.
How
Please
great is it?
Have good news.
I have
got
waiting.
Fantastic.
I've been waiting for this film for 4 years.
So yeah.
Fincher's Fast on Panic Room. And it is... Okay, I'll say this. It's Fincher light, meaning it's not your typical dark, dreary David Fincher film.
Is that a comedy?
But it's a zany thriller. But I tell you, this is one of his best films he's made. It is fantastic.
He's an uneven director.
He is.
He's really talented, but goddamn, you look at his oeuvre, and he is really, really uneven
now,
because he made Seven.
Right.
Which, you know, you can't take anything away from.
Well, let's go back to first. Alien 3. Highly underrated, in my opinion.
It has its good things. Not a great film, but I mean...
It's a beautiful film. It's well done. It's a great story, too.
It's a beautiful film, but it's not a good film, in my opinion. It's a good-looking, bad film.
Compared to the other two Alien films, and I'm not gonna mention the fourth one.
Yeah.
Compared to the other two, obviously, it's not as good.
Stylistically, it's very good.
It's a solid film.
And then he made, and then there's Seven.
And Fight Club.
And Fight Club, which, again, I have a lot of problems with Fight Club, the movie.
Really?
Fight Club is sort of like his whole career, though, it's great moments and moments that I don't care for. Fincher made Seven, but then he made The Game,
right,
which I didn't
so
care
great.
For at all.
Really?
I didn't care for The
I
Game
love
at
the
all.
Game.
Even Panic Room, I didn't really care for.
The Panic Room, to me, was just a fun film. I didn't love it. I wouldn't rank it one of his best.
Not a masterpiece.
But I love The Game because The Game is constantly messing with your head.
Yeah.
And I love coming out of the theater the first time after seeing The Game thinking, what the hell was that?
I
go back and watch it again.
That's one of those movies that I wish I could just see over for the first time.
The Game?
Yeah, really.
I loved that movie.
He's a really talented director, though. There's no getting around that.
Yes.
I mean, when he's on, I mean, even bad Fincher films, and again, I'm not as big into Fight Club as everybody else is, but even a decent Fincher film is better than almost anything else, you know?
Paul Anderson film.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, so I've been, I'm very into serial killers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as part of pop culture.
As a hobby.
Yeah, as a hobby.
You know.
Serial
good time killer.
Serial killers as part of pop culture, though, I mean, fascinating.
Really.
And when it's done well, I mean, that's why Seven was so great, because
right.
it is a thing that kind of taps into everybody's psyche, whether
right.
you admit it or not. Serial killers are really fascinating.
And
he's perfect for this.
Here's the thing about Zodiac, is it really does, taps in a little bit to the psyche of a little bit of the Zodiac, but more along the lines of the investigators, the investigative detectives, Mark Ruffalo and Anthony Edwards,
right?
Otherwise known as Goose. And then you've got the investigative reporters, Robert Downey Jr. and Jake Gyllenhaal, who is originally, worked for the San Francisco Chronicle as a political cartoonist, but this whole story just fascinates him. He kind of latches on to Robert Downey Jr.'s madness and begins his own investigation. And his character is actually the author of the book Zodiac, Robert Gray Smith, which is what this film is based off of. And, you know, I'm not giving anything away when I say the Zodiac killer.
Yeah, they never catch him. Yeah.
It's never been solved. In the book, at least it's possibly somebody who could have been, but I'm not getting too much about that. But what really makes this film a great film is a big puzzle. It's fun trying to figure out what's going on. The killings of the Zodiac take place maybe in the first 45 minutes of the film. They're not overly brutal. They're not Buffalo Bill style or John Doe style or anything like that, because this is a true story. He just randomly killed people. That's what it was all about. The rest of the film, by the way, it's almost 2 hours and 45 minutes.
I heard it's a long film,
but
it doesn't feel long.
No, I looked down at my clock and was like, wow, this film's over in 5 minutes. It was pretty amazing. I thought that went by. But what made this film so great was figuring out along the way and the way Fincher brings characters in and out of the story. Some characters come in, you see them for 10 minutes, they're gone, they're not back for another hour and a half. Some characters are in for the good half of the film, they're gone. You don't see them anymore.
But that's
kind of the way the story works.
Does it look like a Fincher film? Because, he has that thing where it's like such attention to detail and such processed visual.
And like, he doesn't like light.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're all
very
dark, and they're all like... somebody described Seven as looking like it was filmed through algae.
Yeah,
dark and green, everything.
Exactly. You know? And that's one thing about Panic Room that I really liked was that the film took place overnight in a dark house.
There was not
a lot going on there.
Right.
And in this film, it's kind of the same way, even though scenes of light are a little dark. But what makes this film look so good is it's also shot on digital video. And so Cinetopia this weekend, the high def,
yeah,
it's going to be beautiful on the screen.
Well, San Francisco's just such a beautiful city anyway. I mean, it's just the landscape
He uses San Francisco. That's another great thing. He uses the Bay Area, much like he used the house in Panic Room as a character.
Right.
He uses the Bay Area, San Francisco, as a character in Zodiac. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you find it, was it distracting when you already knew the ending of the movie?
No, no, it wasn't.
Okay, because that's what I was kind of worried about. I'm like, well, I know they don't catch him, so.
Right. Yeah. Everybody, I mean, it's one of the most famous unsolved serial killers ever.
It was interesting to see the process. It was interesting to see what they did, their suspect, who they thought might be it, but and how. And then another really big story is the miscommunication between the police departments, because the Zodiac killer didn't keep himself to San Francisco.
Right.
He was in Riverside, Vallejo, and so there was a miscommunication between the three or four police departments that were investigating.
And I haven't seen the movie, obviously, because it just opened today, but I mean, I've read the Graysmith book about Zodiac.
Right.
And if you read the Zodiac case, is just over, like, there was some incident. There's not a spoiler, something I read in the Zodiac book one time where literally, like, the Zodiac killer woman, like, walked by a cop at one point in the story. And the cop, like, thought, I forget exactly how it is in my head, I'm a murderer, but the cop, like, thought he was looking for, like a Latin guy.
Mm.
And really, it was like, you know, the Zodiac, who was, like, in reality, they thought the suspect was, like, a white guy. Anyway, he had a miscommunication to him. I thought he was looking for one guy when he was looking for another type of guy. And the killer, like, walked by a cop.
Yep. And that's after he killed somebody.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the film.
Yeah,
too.
And it was like that Kaiser associate thing of like, oh, he was just here, you know, and they almost had him.
It's a very well done film. Jake Gyllenhaal gives a great performance, but I would say the standout performance is Robert Downey Jr.
Man, when that guy wants to be good, when that guy wants to act like in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang,
that movie is so good. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's great about Downey Jr. is he plays a strung out, you know, guy who's druggy, alcoholic, self-destructing path. But he play with what you know.
Right.
You know,
totally.
It works really well. Jake Gyllenhaal does a really good job. Mark Ruffalo is one of the detectives, is really good. And nice thing, Anthony Edwards in a role again. I haven't seen him
in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
This is Darian. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Just wondering if you're going to do a review soon off 300?
Yeah, we are, actually. We're going to do it next week. We're seeing the film Monday. And tune in this weekend to filmfeverradio.com. We will have a few passes to give away for 300 screening on Monday.
That's filmfever.com?
So, filmfeverradio.com. Our new show will be up tomorrow. And we're going to have some passes to give away on our show tomorrow. So a few days to figure out how to win.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
cool.
Thank
all right,
you. Bye. That's Darian. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's go ahead and break here. Sarah, do you want to break and take our final break out of the way? All right. We'll take a break here. We have Scott Daly from filmfeverradio.com. Filmfeverradio.com. I'll go anywhere. We'll take a break. We return after this. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show, coming up at 3. Tom Likas, Don and Mike at 7. Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Rick, this email says, concerning the predictability of Wild Hogs, at what point do you think the theater patrons will be treated to the obligatory homoerotic scene in which all four men must huddle together for warmth? Totally.
Oh,
in their leather.
Totally. By the way, what is this Cinetopia business I've been hearing about? I've never heard of it, and I live in Vancouver.
Oh.
Don't tell me somebody built something interesting in Vancouver. That's really going to cut down on the extra space we need to build payday loan stores and car lots. Clutching my ovaries for fun and profit, Paul.
Oh.
Just ovaries of steel.
So unpleasant.
Yeah. Cinetopia, I don't even know where it's located. I just plug it into the GPS and it's steering me there. I couldn't tell you what it's by. It's someplace like way the hell. It's in Vancouver. I mean, really, what else could you have to do? Just drive randomly. You'll find it. It is the greatest theater in the history of the world. That's what it is. Let's welcome now to the... we're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from our sister station, 101 KUFO. 7 to 11 p.m. as of Monday. 7 to midnight.
Yes.
we'll fix that in post. Gordon Fatboy,
yes.
What's up?
Not much.
You guys been to Cinetopia?
I have not. I keep hearing about it.
You gotta go.
Our movie reviewer, Mike Russell from the Oregonian, he has raved about it the last five times.
They do everything but give you a full body massage.
Well, it's all like digital cameras and all that kind of stuff.
It's all digital, and some of the theaters have like full on like big leather couches with like the hassock you can put your feet up on, wine bar, coffee bar. They'll bring you dinner.
Wow.
It's amazing. It is the only thing that will save movie theaters.
More importantly, booze.
And
there you go.
And child-free rooms.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Rooms with no kids allowed.
I cannot tell you how angry I get at the idiots sitting in front of me just yammering the entire time.
I was at Zodiac on Tuesday night. I counted three kids.
Really?
Under the age of two.
Wow.
Well, it is the screening crowd.
I hope they grow up to kill people.
Yeah. Well, Court has a new kid. When are you planning on taking your child's movie?
She'll be home in the basement forever.
God bless you.
In a kennel.
With a loop of House of a Thousand Corpses playing.
I don't need to take her out to the movies.
With a skinny puppy pipe.
Totally. Excellent. Well, you guys got the midnight movies.
Yes,
are you midnight movies ever at midnight?
They were once upon a time.
Yeah, they used to be. I mean, technically it is a midnight movie because you're in the theater at midnight because we start them at 11. So that's the workaround. Essentially what it came down to is McMiniman said, this is really late for us. And so we're like, okay, we'll do them at 11.
Okay.
How about that? So, so at 11 o'clock tonight, we're showing Office Space at the Baghdad Theater, and it's a meager $3 to get in.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So Office Space. And we do encourage everybody to get there early because we had Fight Club last month, and there was a line around the block.
I didn't even go. I drove by 8 o'clock, and the line was already like back to Powell. I'm like,
wow, look at you guys, all popular.
It's huge. So, we're encouraging everybody to get there early, so we hurry up and get everybody in and start the damn thing at 11 o'clock.
Excellent. All right. And then have you guys, was it Scott, you're seeing 300 on Monday,
yes,
right?
Ooh. I am seeing 300 on Monday.
All right. Okay.
Do you have any extra passes for your friends?
I might have a couple extra passes.
I'm really curious.
Actually, I was going to have passes to give away today on the air, but they're not in my mailbox yet, so I'm expecting them to be there tomorrow. So
why wasn't I speaking of passes? Like, when do you go to see Zodiac?
You know Jake Gyllenhaal is in that. I love killing.
She loves killing.
You hook a brother up. To be honest, Rick, we've invited you to many, many screenings, and the only one you've taken
you
us upon.
You invite me to screenings of things I don't want to see. Well, come see Happy Feet.
I did.
Thank you. No, I.
But are you going to go to 300?
No, he's not. Because he'll be it.
A man who loves killing isn't going to go see 300.
Yeah.
Killing.
I'll see it at some point. We were talking about this during the break.
It's the artsy look of the film.
It's not that. No. It's like everybody says, like it came out of like, it's the greatest movie trailer in the history of the. And it just looks like the same CGI, like 10,000 people on a battlefield crap that I've seen a bunch of times. Yeah, maybe it won't be, but that's what it looks like in the trailer. It just looks like the same huge Lord of the Rings knockoff battle sequences that I've seen a million times already.
But can you imagine that's going to look on the digital high-def screen at Cinetopia?
I'm not saying it won't be good. I'm just saying I don't think everybody else is just raving about how great it is. And
it's going to be Gladiator plus
that's
Sin
what I'm saying.
Gladiator and Sin City.
It's like the Chronicles of Narnia thing was.
No,
which I was so fine. And it was just the same thing. It was like
that is the oddest comparison I have ever heard.
Let me cut and paste these soldiers all over the battlefield, Lucas style, and call it epic. You know.
So can I invite you to our Grindhouse screening?
Yes. No. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I'll see if we have room.
All right. Fantastic. If you can slum it, bring me along.
I appreciate
it. Okay. All right. Court and Fat Boys midnight movie tonight at 11 o'clock at the Baghdad Office Space. $3.
And are we going to bring up the fact that Court and Fat Boy said they wanted us on their show someday?
Yeah, you guys are welcome to come on our show whenever you want if you can stay here until 7 o'clock.
We'll probably leave and come back.
Yeah. We'll stay because we're lame. So.
Whenever you have anything to pimp or if you just want to pop in and hang out for a while.
We wouldn't use you like that. That would just be tacky.
I just don't have it.
We're happy to use you like that.
Wait, what? No, feel free. In the words of famed philosopher Biggie Smalls, kick in the door, wave in the 4-4. That's how it goes down. That's how we do it. 7 to midnight, son.
Nope. 7 to midnight.
Oh, Rilla. Keeping it trill.
You're trilled to the music.
I'm Trilla Farilla. Like McGilla Gorilla.
Oh my God.
Please quit ruining their show.
Stop that now.
Quit ruining their show like the way you ruin our show.
Now, that's like, well, you know what? Brian Jones, who's the director of engineering here and quite possibly the whitest man who's ever existed anywhere, this morning he comes up and gives me the chuck on the shoulder and the full on, what up, dog? And
it's true.
And he just does it with such a big smile on his face, like he's trying to sell it. You got to kind of embrace it.
He's like the world's biggest puppy dog made out of ham, that guy.
Ha ha ha! Moving forward.
Did I hear there's a Lebowski Fest this weekend?
Next weekend.
Is that Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle. Yeah, Big Jim's going and Jeff McGinley's going. So.
Jeff Bridges occasionally makes it up there to those
things. I got
to
see that movie someday.
Well, I can't believe you have never seen
the
Big Lebowski,
Rick. I know, I'm sorry.
What the hell is the matter with you?
Just to
pimp ahead, in May, we're going to show Big Lebowski.
Right. Cinco de Lebowski. I'll try to get it watched at some point. All right, I'll put it on the list.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
He won't come.
Wait, you asked me this out in the hallway. You were complaining that everyone regards that 300 is the best trailer.
What's
your favorite trailer?
Jaws, probably. Jaws trailer is, because it's just that one tracking shot of the ocean floor, and the guy's going, it is as if God created the devil and gave it Jaws.
And then it's Jaws, and it's because nothing happens. They don't really show much of anything.
They don't make trailers like they used to make in the 70s anymore.
You know what's
those were the, have you seen the Exorcist trailer?
Yeah, the Exorcist, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre trailer, the original, that's amazing.
The original Star Wars trailer.
That was horrible.
I think it's a cool trailer.
Oh, that's terrible.
I mean, it's just because it's a whole 70s.
This is a whole other show.
Okay.
All right, Office Space tonight, 11 o'clock at the Baghdad. Let's quickly wrap it up here with Chris. What's up, brother?
No Baptist sex. Drop and give me 11.
Give him 11. Oh,
get the
witness
the push-ups. You guys have to count
them. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
You should thank people while you're push-upping.
Uno.
That's one.
So
I'm a disgusting fat body.
That's two. Three.
He can't do 11.
Four. No, he can't. This weekend on Film Fever Radio.
Six. Come on.
We'll be up tomorrow morning.
Seven.
Review Zodiac.
Eight.
Talk about serial killer films.
Nine.
Check out our Princess Bride commentary.
Come on, get up. Ten.
All six.
One more.
FilmFeverRadio.com.
11. There you go.
What's the mark for a drunken commentary?
Oh, sorry?
What's going to be the drunken commentary in March?
It is going to be the fantastic Fear of Loathing in Las Vegas.
All right. I'm getting an embolism. We have to go now. Bye. All right. The Rick Emerson Show, produced by Amber David, the lovely talents of Sarah Dillon for AM 70 Solid State Radio, the news from Tim Riley, P.S. Scotty J, the gatekeeper, Dave Zinn. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Like us next. See you on Monday. Bye, kids.